Michael Avery with Classic Business on Classic 1027.
Well, Warwick Lucas, Chief Investment Officer, Galileo Capital, is in studio. Evening, Warwick. I'm going to read you some chappy paper market bump. Did you know 3/4 of US companies that went public last year had negative earnings? And that's the highest level since the peak of the dot-com era. In the year 1999, we're going to take listeners back a little bit here, there were 457 IPOs, most of which were internet and tech related, as we know, the dot-com bubble. Of those 457 IPOs, 117 doubled in price on the first day of trading, and in 2001, the number of IPOs dwindled back down to 76, and none of them doubled on the first day of trading. And I mention this because I see you quizzically looking at me saying, so what, Michael, what are you on about? Well, I just feel like I'm starting to get a little bit bearish. There are all sorts of signs over the debt levels and that little chappy paper stat that make me worried about the market.
Yes, I won't respond that about 47% of stats are made up on the spot. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a bull that has been running a long time. I mean, the bottom really was in the quarter one 2009. So sure, it was. I mean, it was the biggest recession in a long, long time, which maybe makes for a bigger bottom and so on. And one could infer perhaps a longer runway for recovery. But still, I mean, it's. That's only a philosophical argument, not a great one, frankly. I actually saw a survey of fund managers. I think it was Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Yep.
Fund managers saying, "Well, when do they think the next recession would kick in?" The most popular answers were second half 2019, and then first half 2020, followed by second half 2020. So. I would more or less go with that, but do remember that markets can discount that in the first place by between 6 months and a year anyway. So, you know, that's one case. The second case, look, we're still looking to see what happens to the yield curve, which I banged on about the last few evenings I've been on here. But it's running out of runway there, but it still has some. So, like any mature bull market, it's still got some room to run. It's going to get more and more volatile as we go, and we actually saw that already beginning February this year, increase in volatility. But it doesn't mean that the market rolls over straight away.
Clearly.
Free lunches on the market are done. And the funny thing is that everyone thinks, well, bull market's still a great place to make money, whatever. I can assure you that that's not necessarily the case. You've still got to be in the right themes. It reminds me a lot of the market of 97, 98, where even though your market would go up in a straight line on the indices, in practice, there were loads of pockets where you could get absolutely killed. So don't think of this in terms of a free lunch either.
And some of the themes that interest you in this environment, obviously with the oil price heading north still, it looks like $80 a barrel might be the new normal. Oil bulls even going so far as to say we might see a 100. It looks like that's very supportive for the likes of Sasol. But before we talk about that particular theme, I've been scratching my head about why the shale plays haven't put a lid on this particular price rise. Because in the past we have seen when oil was trading in that very narrow band of what was it, between around 40 and 50, every time it approached around 50, the shale producers would start pumping a whole lot more and it would tend to bring it back in line. What's different this time around?
Okay, so I think eventually the shale producers will come back in line because, I mean, the marginal cost of production is still pretty damn low. I mean, it's $40 to $50 a barrel. But you can't just flick a switch on those either. One. Two, there still is a discount in Midwest U.S. oil prices because there still isn't enough infrastructure in place to bring it from the interior to the coast. But I think that's going to correct in about the next 18 months. So, yes, we will see that starting to come through. And then you'll see the so-called Texas WTI come in line with other oil prices. But yeah, I mean, as far as the rest of the the markets go. I mean, I do think that there is a commodity case to be made. I think we've seen some firm traction there, not just in oil, but I think in other commodities, and that'll continue to grow. And I think I'm also fairly comfortable with the likes of pref shares, property, bond, high income plays, basically in SA, and then those offering good price to books. I think it's that's the kind of strategy that I would play if I'm taking a view of a mature bull market. So I don't think the market's going to drop dead tomorrow, but one's got to sort of start seeing it in terms of how much runway have you got.
Well, there you have it, folks. Worth a year's lunches, that advice from Warwick Lucas on where he thinks some of the smart money is headed at the moment. There are concerns, Warwick, about emerging markets, as I referenced in my introduction. The fact that debt levels are ratcheting up. We had Harvard economist Carmen Reinhart put out an interesting report this week, coming to the conclusion that EM is probably in worse shape now than during the global financial crisis of 2008.
Well, I think the key question is going to be where's their dollar debt sitting? I mean, the one thing SA has always had in its favour is that our debt at least is rand denominated. Quite a lot out there that's dollar denominated, and that's got a problem both in terms of the capital amount to be repaid, and then of course the coupon. I mean, particularly if we look at forex cross rates, the gold price, other precious metals, etc. All of them looking strong for the dollar, weak for everything else. So that infers to me that the market's taking the view that the Fed's looking for real rates. And real rates, when you've got a lot of debt, is a problem.
Yeah, we saw a note out that I sent to you. You did remind me very swiftly that it was from Permabear, John Malden of Malden Economics. It's entitled "A Liquidity Crisis of Biblical Proportions is Upon Us." Now, when that kind of hyperbole is used, you do tend to think, well, here's a Permabear note. But it's an interesting thesis. We now have credit cycles instead of economic cycles. And he points to United States corporate debt to GDP levels and how we've seen various credit cycle peaks in 1990, another one in around 2001, another one around the global financial crisis. And as we know, after every single peak, there has been some kind of correction. And where we are now is again on this graph ascending to another one of those peaks. Does that concern you?
Look, I think it's or in line, I should say, with the overall picture that we've been seeing for some time of liquidity just steadily being withdrawn from markets. So it's an ongoing process that we've seen with the Fed, and I mean that that economy is tight. I mean, in terms of capacity utilization. Well, quite recently it was about 76-75%. Before that, now 78%. That's an economy that's tightening. If we look at oil stocks with OPEC, I mean, all of that surplus that they had has gone. So, yeah, it's generally a tightening picture that we're seeing across the world. I mean, case in point. When we were in 2015, there was virtually no OECD stocks. Then we saw that steadily emerging glut. The next thing, it fell out of bed. Stocks in the OECD went to something like 400 million barrels. Last few weeks, they've been down below 50. There you go. You know, it's just a steadily tightening picture here, and we're going to get, you know, we're looking at a step change.
We are looking at that step change, which also, if you look at the leverage of the market, will likely make matters worse, because if you look at this Malden note, a lot of those lenders are far more leveraged this time around than they have been in the past, because they were buying corporate bonds with borrowed money, confident that these low interest rates and low defaults would keep risks manageable. So that extra leverage does throw another joker into the pack, so to speak. But let's just quickly shift along to some of the other big stories in the markets today. Warwick Steinoff, and the market seems to be betting on that old adage of owe a bank a million, it's your problem, owe it a billion. And it's the bank's problem because the share's up 12.5% on the news that it's going to be releasing its results on the 29th of June. It didn't say how those negotiations were going with its lenders, and that really is vitally important for it to be able to continue going.
Yeah, very much so. And even beyond that, though, I mean, the bankers will be looking over nervously and wondering about all of this shareholder litigation that's potentially going behind. And to me, that litigation always looked like an absolute exercise in futility because it creates a zero-sum game. Moreover, I mean, even if some of the South African claims don't rank first in terms of normal company law, the fact that you're going to have a certain amount of Steinhoff debt tied up in the likes of the local Steinhoff Pty, which would be something that the pref shareholders would have a claim on, there's all sorts of nip points where clever lawyers can really have a go and really muddy the waters. So, you know, the best thing for this company is if its litigants actually do a round table number and try and sort out a one-off claim and move on. Otherwise, I mean, it's going to be hopeless.
Well, as you say, zero-sum game, everyone loses, and I'm sure common sense will prevail at the end. Well, I say I'm sure. Human nature yes. may override common sense. The Richemont numbers look like a little bit of a miss, dragged down what did we see? It was a 203 million rand inventory buyback. Watches are under some pressure. Overall, the market didn't seem to like these, marking Richemont down on the day, but then it had run up quite strongly leading into these results.
Yeah, I think it had a hell of a strong run before, probably anticipating that the prior numbers were a low base, which now in the wake of these they haven't turned out to be at all. So, I mean, that's one heck of a rating that Richemont's on, PE there north of 30. I think the market was able to tolerate on the expectation that, well, that would unwind with a nice big bump in earnings, and sure, it came in on the operating line, but elsewhere, as you say, it came in as a miss. So, I mean, I certainly can't see the value case in this one.
Yeah, value in SA telcos at the moment. I say that because we had the minister noting, I think it was in Parliament yesterday, that dominant operators charge users up to 8 times more in South Africa than other countries. And he also noted that poor people pay more than rich people for data. It was really stirring a lot of reaction from the MPs in the House. And he also provided a timeline around those next steps from government, ICASA and the Competition Commission. So overall, all of those sound bites suggest a risk to the medium-term growth outlook for mobile data in South Africa. The politicians coming down hard on MTN and the like.
Well, particularly the bigger ones. I think the other thing they're coming down on is this whole question of data expiring. That from now on data is supposed to be rolled, and of course those bigger players that expire data after a month aren't going to like that one little bit. So yeah, I think the pressure on there. I mean, if I was to play in the telco space, probably it would be in something like Telkom. I mean, MTN geographically has its attractions, but the problem there is that there's always something that's going wrong. If it wasn't Nigeria and that's sorting itself out,
it's Iran.
Oil price rising, blow me down, but you're in Iran, which of course, yes, it's an oil market, but everyone hates them, so they can't get money out anyway.
Yeah. Frontier markets.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
High risk, high reward. That has been the strategy to this point. Warwick Lucas, Chief Investment Officer at Galileo Capital, with your Friday markets here on Classic Business.